This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Table electing officers to January when we actually have board members present for office positions. Is there any yay or nay to that?
I would move to adopt the agenda with that addition.
And then Carrie.
Yes, I would like to add to new business an equipment request. And then also talk about the MS-73 deer strike and the repair quote.
Okay, are there any other additions or questions? All in favor of approving the agenda with the discussed additions, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. So Tim was not able to be with us tonight, but Mary is here. So Mary, can you just, for everyone knows, but if you could just introduce yourself.
I'm Mary. I'm a new board member. Mary Litzel. Yes, I work at the hospital for those of you that don't know.
Thank you.
You all know.
Yes. All right, Cindy. So we have Cindy here from Porter Muirhead who completed our 2024 fiscal year audit, and she's just going to go over some of the findings.
Hi, well, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate you letting me do this over the phone and not having to drive. We got a little snow. I don't know if you guys got any snow, but we got a little bit of snow today, so
yeah.
It was kind of nice for a little bit of moisture anyway. To get started, I'm not sure if you guys have a copy of the financial statements in front of you.
We do. Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, that'll lead me to some of the page numbers that I'd like to talk about. Overall, the audit went fantastic. It's gone really well. Getting all the information. Teresa's wonderful in being able to prepare everything for us ahead of time so we can really just do a lot of the work in our office and only come down for a day either to KC office or to Buffalo. So it's worked out really well. I think we're getting a nice system and figuring things out. The most important page that I want to take you guys to is you will go to page one of your financial statements. And the most important in any audit is going to be what kind of opinion they are. The audit report is going to be. And if you look on the second paragraph, it says, in our opinion, the company financial statements present fairly in all material respects the respective modified cash basis financial position of the governmental activities. So that right there is telling you that these financials materially, in all material respects, are present fairly. And that is what you want to see in an audit report. I know there's some additional paragraphs of like what the basis of the opinion is. And then we have an emphasis paragraph right below that talks about that we're doing it on the modified cash basis. That's just to letting the users know that they're not looking at an accrual audit report. But that paragraph is the most important. If there were any problems as far as like an unmodified or a qualified opinion or adverse opinion, that's where you would see that. So this is a good report. No problems in that aspect as far as materiality of the areas that we looked at. Some of the things I did want to talk about is just a couple things of the changes that you've had, and that's going to go to page five. And if you're looking at page five, it's the statement of net position. I just wanted to kind of point out a couple of things that changed from last year if you're comparing apples to apples. Obviously, your cash has gone up, your total assets, just funding-wise that you've received. But the other two points I did want to point out is the fund balances where you had it assigned. You have put some money away, for depreciation reserve, and that went from $600,000 last year to $719,300 this year. So you have increased what your reserves are, and also obviously what you've assigned for the ambulance funding. So that was $417,000 last year, and you're at $585,000 this year. So I know that those are your goals. Depreciation reserve, saving some money for types of repairs and maintenance that you may have in a building. So being fiscally responsible for those types of things. So I did want to point that out, that would be something a little bit different that you hadn't seen, or at least another line item that you didn't have last year. As far as page six, this is just an outline of the type of revenue and expenditures you have. Overall, you're on the positive side of, and you'll see that change in net position of $223,150. So that means your revenues exceeded your expenditures, and that's what you'd like to see, that you're not going in that. And I would say that you don't, because you may in 1 year have more expenditures, especially if you have, again, like I said, squirreled away some money. You know that you're going to have to pay that, and you may pull out a reserve to spend that to take care of a building repair, or obviously building your ambulance. So I just wanted to point out you are putting money away and staying within your budgets that you set. The other big thing is going to be on page 11. And nothing's really changed in that note, but I did want to point that some of these numbers would change a little bit next year because of now the Wyoming retirement system, how they had, ruled upon saying that the Buffalo EMS was no longer on the retirement fund. So some of those numbers as far as how much the district has contributed to the plan will change. Not a whole lot, but it will not include any more of that, of the Buffalo EMS in those numbers. So it will just be the employees from the rural health organization. So I think that just a little slight difference. There's nothing else that was really big changes as far as your report. And then page 13, the big thing is the subsequent event. You know, you're starting your construction with your new ambulance and what you're working on with that. So as far as number-wise, nothing too crazy different. Most of the stuff that you probably get on a month-to-month financial statements is very accurate, with some slight changes and some reclassifications. But does anybody have any questions on this?
Cindy, I have one. This is Mark Schuler, the treasurer for the last 2 years. Just planning ahead, are there any recommendations about what minimum cash on hand would be considered a good business practice?
I mean, it kind of depends. I really, you want to be able to pay the bills, right? So you've got to make sure you kind of know what your monthly liabilities are. So say you know you're going to have to spend $50,000 every month. Depending on how you, and it might be just wise to know how your revenue is. If you're feeling like, you know, when you the property tax money comes in, what time of the month is it? Is it a couple times a year? I think knowing some of that could fluctuate how much money you want to have if you need to dip lower than, say, you know, whatever you have right now, which is, I think, $1 million. But I can't give you without looking at a budget to tell you, okay, this is what our monthly expenses. So it might be one of those things that you run the last 2 years, kind of a revenue and expense from the last 2 years, so you can kind of see what kind of expenses you're are going out, and then have an average of what you think that you should have in the bank just to be able to cover your costs.
Okay. We made an amendment to the budget when we decided to purchase an ambulance that wasn't originally part of the budget. And that's going to fall within our surplus revenue so far. So we're not going to exceed our total budgeted amount. But I think we erred on the safe side and did the amendment for that.
Perfect.
I I don't think it was that much work. I wasn't the one doing most of it.
But I think it's always wise. If you do have the amendment, it is a little bit of paperwork, but at least the documents, it has that discussion and the documentation. It's always prudent that, you know, what if you are over? Well, you know how to do a budget. You were just over, you know, you didn't estimate enough well. So I think that having that gives you a little bit of buffer that in case something else should happen, you're okay with that expense.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it wasn't too much work.
No, the budget amendments are, no, it's just a line item. It might be more work for Brittany and Teresa, so you might owe them coffee. But on my end, they put everything in the minutes and provide us the documentation, so it works out well.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Any other questions for Cindy? Thank you, Cindy, very much. We appreciate this.
You're welcome. And don't hesitate to call if you have any questions or just as you guys get through some more construction. You know, you never know what might pop up. We are more than happy to walk you through anything that you may have.
Thank you.
All right. We just have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, so much. Call anytime. Thank you so much.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Minutes, general meeting minutes. The only thing that I have is that a quorum was present and then others in attendance. We just need to add Rod Williams to the attendance, please. And I didn't see anything else.
Well, I would be willing to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Treasurer's report.
So for the month of November, I seem to want to change my budget report every month, but it's not terribly different. It just looks a little different. I've printed down what our monthly income and expense numbers are, and then what they are year to date, and how that compares to budget. And we see a trend where we continue to have increased ambulance revenue above budget and tax collection below budget, and those roughly offset, but we're also fortunate to have another fairly lucrative month for out-of-county transfers that brought in another $35,000. So overall, we had budgeted we would have spent $608,000 at this point in time, and we have spent total year-to-date $637,000. So we're pretty close to budget, and one of the things I mentioned last month was that our capital expense budget we have nearly completely covered already, so there won't be a lot of that unless Carrie's equipment request is a very large item. But we're not getting what we thought we would from taxes, and it looks like we're on track to collect about 80% of what we thought the mill levy was going to provide, but that's been made up for with the number of calls and transfers that are being done. And we're sitting on a total cash and investment of $2.2 million. We've earmarked about $750,000 for ambulance purchase and building, which hasn't occurred yet. But my question to Cindy about days cash on hand, comparing what a hospital budget guideline would be, they feel you need a minimum of 100 days cash on hand. It's a little different, but it's the only reference I have. If we pay for the building and the new ambulance and the van, we'll still have over 365 days cash on hand if nothing else changes. So overall, the district's in good financial shape with some very nice upgrades to facility and equipment that are covered. So that, and then in terms of expenses, KC has remained under budget. For the month, they were $11,628. Year to date, $61,900. Significantly less than the annual budget so far, which would be $93,750. And that does allow us some flexibility as far as staffing and payroll goes to make sure we've got services covered. So I'll stop there and we'll perhaps be able to answer a question if there are any.
The one thing that we'll have to do is we will need to entertain a motion to transfer $383,169 from our
building checking account?
Yes. Into our building.
It would be into the checking account from the
money market account, yes, for the two ambulances. So the one ambulance, I have the specific amount.
Okay, so it won't be the building account, it would be the 2718.
Yes. Yeah, it's the money market into our general checking account, so we can for the two ambulances. So the first ambulance was $121,330. So I just need to take $383,169 minus $121,330. So the second ambulance is $261,839. So for the two of them, as I mentioned, $383,169.
Move we transfer $383,169 from the money market into the
general
account so we can pay for the ambulances.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
All in favor of transferring $383,169 from money market to general checking account to pay for the two ambulances, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Did you also vote for
so, no, not yet. I didn't know if we needed anything else. Any other questions from the treasurer's report?
No, I mean for the transfer, given
oh,
we have only three people
yes.
here.
Do we need to transfer anything for the building into the building fund either?
Not at this time.
Okay.
I don't think.
Is that what you're talking about?
You just have to vote.
Well, we only had two votes. Yay.
Yay. I said yay.
Yay.
Just quietly. Yay. I'm not used to having to vote. Sorry. No, that's okay. And then are there any other questions about the treasurer's report? Is there a motion to approve the treasurer's report?
I move to approve the treasurer's report as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor of approving the treasurer's report, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. All right, Buffalo Director's report.
Well, November kind of mirrored October, busy-wise. We had a...
Sorry, Dave, I'm just showing Mary how to get to your treasurer, or to your... I don't think that far.
Actually, this one packet was towards the back. It's almost
oh.
the second. Yeah, all that.
This is what you sent me tonight. So.
Oh.
Maybe it's
not
like in this.
That.
Oh, well.
There it is.
There you go. Hey, gotta
follow along. Pay attention. So we had 74 calls in November. 52 were medical, 22 were trauma. 15 transfers total, 6 went to Billings, 2 went to Casper, 4 went to Sheridan, two went to the airport. We had four nurse transfers, and the other is a weird call that we had people active on for an hour and a half. It turns out the guy came in, and then they were going to transfer him out, and he coded, and they ended up being there for an hour and a half, so we paid our crew. So it was like a call, but we really didn't go anywhere. And
they were very helpful.
Yeah, and we didn't. And the rural health care didn't get paid anything for that, but that's the way it goes. Four of them, we had four nurse transfers and four out-of-county transfers, which are the kind of the cash cow that we, that Dr. Schuler was alluding to. 42 were in town, 32 were out of town. We had 63 residents, 11 non-residents. Five canceled calls, 21 patient refusals, and we had one code. Didn't have anything other extrication or trauma team stuff. 31 were Medicare, one was Medicaid, eight were insurance, 10 were self-pay, and three were lift assist charges. And so we have, that's kind of all for the calls, and I think Carrie's going to give a little report on the class that's coming up and the class that we're advertising for and a couple other things. So.
Okay. Yeah, well, we're completing an EMTB class that we started in the fall. The written finals would be the 12th, and then there's the psychomotor testing on the... the 16th, sorry. I think we'll have six coming out of that class. Two are from Sheridan, so they'll probably not work for us, but the other four, perhaps. And then we're also going to offer an EMR class beginning January. We were asked by community members that were also guides and outfitters that wanted this training for in the backcountry, so they didn't necessarily want to take a full EMT class, but Stormy's going to teach both the EMR and the EMTB with the help of Kelly Buckingham. And I think there's at least 12 in the EMR, and I think I have 6 to 8 interested in the EMTB class. So as long as we have students, we'll keep teaching. We do get a little bit of help from the state for certain expenses and supplies, so that kind of offsets it, and that way we don't have to charge what others charge to put on a class, what it would actually cost to pay for all the instructors and the equipment and supplies. I think that's all for
one that. Of the benefits of having Sheridan students in our class, if I can see a potential help to us, is when we do out-of-county transfers and go north, we can send one of our people out of town and pick up EMT in Sheridan and have them make the transfer to Billings. And so one guy from Buffalo is all we'd be losing. He'd be a driver. And so, and if we develop a relationship with these folks, these kids, we certainly could benefit us.
Absolutely. Do you want to talk about the other two things, or you want
what?
Me to?
No, go ahead.
This Thursday, we are a part of the Disability Forum that they're hosting at the Buffalo Senior Center. We've been answering questions. It's through Emergency Management Coordinator. So I think fire will be there, ambulance, dispatch, police, sheriff. Just talking about the disabilities, whether it's hearing, physically, sight, and not just in the elderly, but and what we have in place and what we think we could benefit from. So it's just it's the meeting one of several, I would imagine, just to better serve our community with disabilities.
So this isn't necessarily talking to the seniors. This is
no.
just at the...
Yes.
Okay.
But I will say the senior center initiated the
okay.
conversation.
Gotcha.
And then...
And just more community-wide, like helping...
Yes. Yeah. Hearing, vision for, I mean, all sorts.
Yes.
Infants.
Yeah.
And then just wanted to let you know that we did receive on Friday the van type ambulance. It's insured through North Wyoming. It needs to have the power load system installed. We're taking it out of an ambulance and putting it in. We'd like to have Stryker come do that, their tech, and it might be a week or two out. They might schedule it to do the other ambulance at the same time, because the Type 1 is due to arrive the week of December 17th, depending on the transport. So in the state, they said we can permit it. They'll permit it and then come and inspect it mm-hmm. at a later date when it's convenient for them to come and inspect it.
Can it be used with prior to inspection?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they do them at the same time, does that put you down anything?
No. Well, no.
You can still have the
I
same
mean, we'll put us
transport.
Down one ambulance for like 2 hours.
Okay. Not for days. It just
no.
is a quick. Okay.
Yeah, because they'll come to us.
Because that's when we'll have 6 transfers.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, we had a day like that this
yeah.
week.
And it's the new ambulance is currently being stored at City Fire. They had an extra bay. Gomer Gammon, Chief Gammon, also offered for when we need to have Stryker do that move. They have room for us to do it in a heated garage there, so we'll probably take them up on that offer when that's scheduled.
And Carrie did ask that.
Yeah, to let
say yes.
Yeah,
so
I thought we should get it out of the weather
and
out of sight until
yeah,
it's in our
favorite.
Barn,
yeah.
ready to go. Okay. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I had a question about the financial assistance with training. Is that a grant?
It is a grant, and it's a class by class. You have to submit ahead of time, get permission. It depends on how much money they have. We've been successful in the grant twice. They will give you so much per student, but then you have to turn in all your receipts and invoices, and it's things like supplies and also instructors and guest instructors. If we have to rent a building for the class, which we don't right now, we're having it at City Hall and then our office. So. But we have a number of supplies that we use up, and the Buffalo EMS pays for. They're just disposable type supplies, and paper and books, because the book is about $250 with the online learning package.
And
so I'm going to apply for both the EMR and, but there's no guarantee.
Right. And the other question was, when the Type 1 arrives and is in service, and we're doing something with MS-73 that's a little beat up now, but still operational, Michelle was talking about how many areas in Wyoming are unable to get the new ambulance. And I wonder if Cheyenne has any information on people who are looking, or if that's been an avenue to pursue as far as where to go with it.
I would call the state and see if you can advertise it for sale on the state's EMS website.
Yeah.
And list it there, and you will probably get some offers.
Okay. think that's a good
that are a lot more significant than the $10,000 or $12,000 that you'll get for
Well, and I know at one time Marilyn, when we had an ambulance available, Marilyn offered it either for, you know, for sale at a to a community, but they had just found one. So you know, we have done something like that in the past. But and I think that we were aware of this county needing one through the EMS website. So that's a very good idea. I didn't think of
kick it out on the EMS director's email group because everybody gets
emails and they'll pass it on even over into areas of their surrounding areas. You know, Uinta and stuff will send it over to Salt Lake area and those other areas if they're looking for one.
Okay. Well, if the box has a lifespan far exceeds the chassis, then
and they do
that itself.
I was going to ask, you guys got the guy out of Utah coming to do your power loads?
I
don't know if he's out of Utah or is he out of...
Well, there's a guy in Colorado and a guy in Utah. The guy in Utah is the one that's done ours, and like the last one he did like in 2 hours. He showed up right before, put it in, wired it, was gone. He charged $1,800 or whatever to drive here from Utah, but he's quick.
Well, this guy is with Stryker. I'm trying to remember his name.
And I used to know that guy's name is down there, too. But we had the guy out of Utah because he was more accommodating to come here. But
okay. Well, I know...
But the Stryker guys should know him, too. I just didn't know which one you had talked to.
Yeah, I'll look it up and see. The one guy, the head, said he might send the guy that's closer, which is probably the Salt Lake guy. Yeah. But he hadn't set up... He said they were 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
But I'll take a look here.
All right, so month of November, we had 6 traumas, 3 medicals. Apparently, I didn't finish my report, so we had a total of 9 calls with 8 patients we touched. 1 DOA, so it was walk in and walk out. Of those, 7 of them were transported, 3 to Buffalo, 4 to Casper. One of them actually ended up being intercepted with WMC, so we transported 6 of those patients. Other than that, everything is went pretty well this last month. The last few months, we have done literally a few calls, and I don't know if we partly transported a patient this month that really picked up with a weather and and just some other seasonal sickness, shortness of breath, things like that.
How are we on staff?
So we've been doing really well. Like we were just looking at tonight, we have pretty much every day covered. There's days that, like, if you look at our schedule, there's nobody on it.
Okay.
But Michelle or I are here. We write a lot of times, like, hey, there's the days I work in Sheridan. I put those on there. Michelle does the same. And then, you know, Audrey and those people put their name down. And then, like, even today I come in, it's like, yeah, I better cover, make sure that everybody knows I'm on call those days. Beyond the days I'm just here working, I'm also, so.
Okay.
Last month we hit a couple days that was just a fluke that Michelle and I were both working somewhere else, but those are really getting to be few and far between. That we can kind of plan around those ahead of time. So okay. I think even with Mary being gone for like a week over Christmas, we're covered through the end of December pretty good.
Okay. Are we doing Rob.
So, I talked to him. He said he would be available. He had been gone all summer doing wildland fire as a line medic. He's like, hey, let me know. I'm trying to get caught up at home. And I just said, cool, I'll call you if we get in a pickle. He goes, I'll come up. I'm more than happy to. But
okay.
So far, we just really
haven't needed
it. Yeah. Okay. He was just like, but if we get in a pickle, like, hey, we need somebody for a day or two, he's available and more than happy. He's still, you know, part of our organization and wants to still be, especially in the winter months, kind of continue to train with us and do those things. So, like other than that, Trevor and I have talked multiple times. He said he would hopefully have an insurance certificate by today. I've not seen it. Jen jumped me last Friday down at Casper. I went down to help test their paramedic class, and she was like, hey, you don't haven't applied for license. I'm like, hey, I still don't have insurance.
Did we get it this time last year?
I don't know how he did it last year. I know we waited. We had it before the December meeting last year. Yeah. And this year, I don't know what, because like when I talked to him, then he had left me a message, then you left me a message. Yeah. I called him again. He's like, he was just waiting on them, but he said he might be able to just make a certificate himself.
Okay.
And send it to us.
Okay.
But Jen told me, she goes, I have your license printed and sitting on my desk. When I get your stuff, I will mail it to you.
Okay.
So I think we're okay as long as we get it in soon.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're the same way.
Yep.
You were just waiting on the license. So we do a Buffalo and then a KC one. But they have the $20 and the fee.
I think Teresa might
not
check for
it. Yeah, I saw that. So thank you, Teresa, for doing that, because that's going to make it
expedited a little bit faster.
Well, that was I know we were earlier last year, because I submitted everything for licensing online, got the email back, and then turned that in to get with a voucher to get the check at the December meeting.
Yeah.
So for some reason, we were earlier last year.
Okay.
But it doesn't have anything to do with Trevor. It has to do with the underwriter.
Okay.
It's so...
Yeah.
I don't know if he can move us back a month or two on that renewal or not.
Okay.
They used to always renew it with, oh, we saw your last year's insurance, we're good, but they won't do that anymore.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, and then there was, just so you know, because I checked that for Luke that's in there. We had to renew the Board of Pharmacy license for our facility here. And I don't understand this. I applied for it originally and did it. But to renew it, Luke had to do it. So he just did it and mailed the check in. So he just...
Well, you just have to reimburse him.
Yeah, so it was just a reimbursement to him for writing that check.
Okay.
He goes, this might be quicker if I just write the check and mail it in, then you'll reimburse me versus waiting. So.
Okay. Perfect.
Any other questions?
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
New old business. So the new building, Rod said we are waiting on stuff for the trenches, whatever that means. And he said we will build us. They'll do pour the slab once those trench things get built. There's some back order issue with the trenches. Then also, he said he's still hoping we're on task for roughing it in and having all of our electrician and plumber and everything still doing their winter work in there. And so he still said, hopefully we're still kind of on point for summer. But again, it's probably just depending on the trenches. And now that the weather's getting colder, I don't think you can pour concrete at a certain degree. So, we'll see. He was going to send me an email about talking points for you guys. I didn't get that. But I just talked to him on Friday, and that was kind of as far as the building had got. There wasn't much more to discuss with that. So, any questions on the new building?
Well, there was some sticker shock, I guess, on the power connection.
Yes, so I have been working very closely with Pacific Core and pleading and begging to see if we can come down on price. He did end up sending a second guy to the site, he told me, and he said that guy was going to look, this was last week, and to see if there's any way we can decrease the cost. We were initially told that it could be a three-phase building, but I'm not sure if it's the way that Nelson Engineering drew it up to where it's a one-phase building. County Fire is three-phase, and so there's a cost difference there. There's also a cost difference in terms of connecting power somehow, kind of
Behind us is the RV campground, I believe, and then kind of the crossroads area. And there is some right-of-way concerns that will go into that if we choose to add power to there. But he was going to get all of that stuff for me and send me stuff this week. I asked if he could send me just a write-up of everything, and he said, just have anyone who wants to call me, call me. And so that's that. And so I have the guy's number if anyone wants to call him and do anything more. I just pleaded that this was not an expense that we had expected. $27,500 to bring electricity to the building, just like to bring it there. Yeah. And so first I thought I was under the impression that that was part of the Ace Builder quote or part of our 133 Nielsen Engineering, but it's neither. The other thing that Jake had talked with me about is generators. However, I think we're good on generators because we got a grant for generators. The generators were at a facility that broke the MOU agreement, and now the commissioners have the generators stored for us to use for the building.
And Marilyn alluded to that
yes.
in an earlier meeting.
So we, I believe, are set on generator power, hopefully. They're being stored right now by the commissioners, and but in they know that they're kind of earmarked for rural health, and so really it's just that it's really hard with that electrical stuff because it's stuff that is beyond my comprehension. So like I said, I'm just begging and pleading with Pacific Core, who is the same as Rocky Mountain Power. But just seeing what we can do. So as soon as I get a quote, a new quote from the gentleman who went back out there last week to see if he could fix some things for us, I will let everybody know that. But it's just kind of been back and forth with them and me trying to figure out ways that we can cut costs. So I think that's it for that part.
Well, there was some vague recall that we were going to be able to utilize access, share it with County Fire.
Yes, and when I asked Dave that question, he said, I am not sure who told you that, but that is completely incorrect. I will tell you right here.
So Dave is this guy with...
Dave is the guy who's doing...
The power company.
Mm-hmm, and he does all of the... quote, he's quoting us. He stated that Rocky Mountain Power will make zero money. They're charging us what it will cost to get the stuff to the facility. He said, I'm not sure who told you that we could come out of the transformer, but we cannot, and I will detail the reasons. The existing transformer is over 400 feet away from the proposed new building, and that is way too far for service wire. The existing transformer is not what they call a feed-through, so no primary wire can come from that. The transformer is surrounded by concrete, and to do any work with the new conduits will be difficult at best. The fire hall transformer is three-phase. The new barn is one-phase. We don't connect the two. Which I was under the impression that we were supposed to be three-phase for the new ambulance barn. And so I think that's maybe where my confusion lied.
So again, we can't weld from the ambulance barn? I mean, what does the three-phase versus one-phase pertain to?
It has to do with how Nielsen Engineering drew up the plans. So I'm going to talk to Jake and figure out what we can do to fix that. This gentleman is a journeyman estimator out of Casper.
Had Nielsen Engineering, had they even discussed that? That was just not in their realm of quoting
we
what they think.
Okay. Nope. At least for me,
right.
You know, unless that it happened, like if the old board
no,
had the idea, I'm not sure. But no, that was no.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it came as a surprise.
On the building, there was a recent email about builder's insurance.
Yeah, I have that under new business.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yep. So we'll quickly
withdraw the question.
That's okay. Is there any more old business? So new business, the building insurance policy. I was told that we should consider a small builder's risk policy for the simple reason that what happens if in February we have a massive hailstorm and all of our steel is laying on the ground and it damages all of our steel. I've talked with the insurance company and they said typically the builder has the insurance for that, but I don't believe that is the case. I've talked with them. And so I did get a quote for a small risk loan or small risk policy. It is approximately $3,000. The problem with it is called full something. It's in there. Full something, meaning you pay the $3,000. So say our building were to be done, we start it January to January, and say our building is done in August. We pay the full $3,000, so we're covered for the whole year, and we won't need coverage for September, October, November, December. There is another option that could be more money, say $5,000, but we pay we have to pay a full 25% of it, but then it's sort of prorated as the building is completed. So it's a little bit, I talked with Adam about it because he's our insurance guru and he said it's kind of splitting hairs. But he does suggest we get this second quote to where the prorated thing just to see the difference. I think if we just approve, kind of talk about it now, say, yes, we want to get a policy in place and then we, can get more approval in January. The other thing I'm also gonna do with Rod is just ask for a better timeline because I don't want us to be spending $3,000 on dirt, which is what it is right now. So if we can get a better timeline so we have a more appropriate idea as to when we're gonna have stuff on the ground that actually needs insured. There's also the problem though, we have to be kind of like careful with that because the insurance company will likely not insure if there's a lot of building going on. They're not going to say, well, you're already building, you already have a ton of stuff up. And so I'll just get with Rod to have a better idea. But I just wanted to kind of put the bug in everyone's ear that I think this is probably something that we need to have. And it will be a $3,000 to $5,000 expense. Double checking with Rod again about his builder's insurance and what that covers this isn't really something where you call around and get quotes on because what happens, I guess, with this is it's kind of all one. There's not a lot of leeway with it. It's pretty straightforward and you put it into this system. And if another insurance company, say, Farm Bureau, we've called Farm Bureau and they're doing this for us. If Hub Insurance comes in and goes to the same site, they're going to be blocked and they're going to say Farm Bureau has already accessed this. And so it's not something where you actually shop around for quotes for.
you go with initially has to shop around all those quotes.
Yes.
They can't insurance shop different places.
So this Zurich company, it's like a third party. And Adam said, like, they're very reasonable. It's really, like, they're not trying to get us on anything. It's pretty straightforward. So I wanted to bring it to everyone so you just were aware that I think we will have to make this, if you choose to, a policy. And like I said, I don't want to insure dirt right now. So
who recommended getting this to you?
The builder. Which makes me believe that he doesn't have the insurance to cover it, or if he does, it's not.
But he's not going to cover your stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But Adam said that he said typically we don't have to always do this because the builder has the coverage.
Wouldn't you think the builder would have
coverage? I've done it both ways through the years, and it kind of depends on the project and.
Okay.
Some banks say no, if we're financing it, the homeowner has to provide that coverage. So
okay.
It's not like if I was building you a house back when I was a contractor and I was halfway through and it burned down, my insurance company would cover that. But you're in like, oh, you'd spent, you know, $100,000. Here's your $100,000 for your burned down house. Good luck.
Yeah.
If you have your own insurance, it goes back to that kind of like a replacement. Oh, yes, your house burned down. We will clean it up and you can start over. You okay. have the money to start again.
Sure. I see what
you're saying. Kind of
how. So it's kind of necessary. I mean, it's. We're not getting a loan.
It covered you better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and honestly, for $3,000, I mean, you know, they get it halfway up and a tornado hits it, you're 100%.
And that's what he said. Yep. We have these trusses up and the wind blows it and it's down. We're covered. So, but I will get more information on that. Adam called today and I spoke with him and he gave me some good talking points just for more information that was needed. And then figuring out a quote for the percentage, the other avenue.
Yeah.
That isn't something that Trevor would provide where they would roll it from like one policy. That
it's a, he said it's really a completely separate thing.
Thing. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't want us to make a motion on this tonight.
Well, there's nothing to really make a motion on, just to be aware that
we're going to be paying for this.
If, yeah. I mean, we can make a motion to say, yes, let's get the small business risk insurance and we'll vote on the which one we go for in January.
I mean, really, $3,800 seems pretty cheap to cover you every year.
And again, it's not something we can shop around for different quotes with.
But it's not going to be essential between now and the January meeting.
Because nothing's going to be up.
And if it is, if all of a sudden something happens and we're like, oh crap, like we're rocking and rolling, we'll just call an emergency meeting. Yeah. And
it won't between the
hands. Well, they have to get materials for trenching and then they have to dig and put forms up. And
he said
then
the slab is not done.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to take a while.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine till January 13th. But again, I just wanted to put the bug in everyone's ear so you were aware that.
Makes sense, I
we
guess.
Need this.
Let me explain it that way.
Okay. We've tabled election of officers. Meeting dates for 2025, I have gone through, and the only meeting date that falls on a holiday weekend was just like this last year was our October, I think, whatever holiday that shows on that Monday, was the only one that fell on a holiday. And we did get the go-ahead from Johnson County Healthcare Center to have our meetings there. And then what may have to happen as we do this, as we get further along in the building, if problems occur or things needed to be voted on, we can always do a quick meeting at the building if we need to look at something, or the building committee can go and look at it and then present it back to the board. Rod had talked about he was hoping by sometime next year, like in the winter, we could have some meetings there. He said he would keep it a warm 50-some degrees for us, but I'm like, eh, I'd be better just to have the building committee go there and take a look at things and something that we don't have to sit in for very long. So were there any objections to the meeting dates if we're still good with the second Monday of every month?
Do you care to know? I already know I'm not going to be here February 10th. I mean, if it's not going to be up, here, does it matter? I mean, you don't change it.
No, not typically. Things come up. It's okay. Life happens. And there are meeting dates for Casey is part of those as well. Do you guys have any glaring things with that? Okay.
Where would they be at the healthcare center?
The meeting, the Misty Moon, or
like Angeline, and down the hallway by admin.
We'll find
the
it.
North, yeah.
We'll send smoke signals and start a fire in the hall. And just
I know where the ER is, and now I know how to get through the hallway to the floor the back way. I don't have a badge.
Not that way, though, is where you need to go.
Yeah. I don't have a badge, so I always get locked in the hall.
The northwest corner.
Yes.
Is
opposite way of the hall.
Where it'll be.
And you'll just go through the main doors. And the nice thing about this, because I had to have the key for the planning office when it was a date that people weren't there, Marilyn wasn't there, and This way, it's an always open meeting room. So I think it'll be a little more suitable for us. But can we have a motion to approve the 2025 meeting dates?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, state by stating aye of approving the proposed 2025 meeting dates.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Oh, equipment request.
Okay, we currently have a blanket warmer in our first out ambulance that we've repaired the cord several times, and I think it's currently working, but maybe not the safest because it's a, you know, electrical tape type repair. $500 for the blanket warmer, $153 if you want to plug it in. So $655 approximately for a new blanket warmer. And this is through Boundary. I'll ask them for a discount of maybe 10%, but this actual price was off of the internet under our account, but we could ask for additional money off, and I will.
How often do one of those go bad, Carrie?
Well, I think maybe 5 years. It's kind of like a heating blanket. You
yeah,
know, they
I was
won't
just
last.
Like compared to like ready yeah. heat blankets are expensive.
Yeah.
But if we only use them like certain times of the year, like how many times does it get used? I was just mm-hmm. if you're having to replace one of those every. Mm.
No, I would say every 5 to 7 years.
That's not bad.
Mostly. And they need to be on.
Yeah.
Before we,
yeah.
you know, start the ambulance. So. Yeah. They're constantly warm.
And you just have it in one ambulance?
We have a couple, but
okay.
this is the one that is
broken.
Broken, yeah.
yeah.
And so that is for, you know, approximately $655. And then I have. We received the van type ambulance. It did not come with a grill guard. If you want me to, I can get quotes to have a grill guard. I think it's a good idea. The brand that our ambulance representative suggested, it's a $2,800 grill guard for this. I think that's really high for a van-type grill guard. I think maybe we could find one locally. And so I'd like to just let you know that I'll get some quotes on that. But I do think it's probably a good idea. It will save us in another deer strike, totally ruining the front end of it. The deer strike that we had, it was... The grill guard helped a lot. Otherwise, it probably would be inoperable because it would have needed a new radiator.
Make sure you talked to Bollinger.
Yeah, and then we got a quote from Bollinger
oh, okay.
For the Type 1. They do not make them for the van type.
Oh,
yeah, is what, and...
I mean, we sort of have someone.
I know, I've already got that in.
Yeah,
I've got that in. I should have mentioned that Bollinger said they do not make them for the transit van. But they gave us a quote of $2,000 for the Type 1 grill guard.
I thought it was $2,200.
Well, $200 if we need a fog light. And I don't know what you recommend, Teresa. Do most of them do that?
The aftermarket fog light, if it has fog lights in it.
Oh, I see.
Existing fog lights. If
oh,
it
okay.
doesn't, then it's just
okay.
a normal bed.
So we'd have to determine from our specs
yes.
if it has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's either...
Some do, some don't.
Okay, 2,000 or 2,200. Okay.
And it's easier to put them in when it's made.
Right, okay.
I mean, do you remember...
what they were going for on the last.
These, I mean, of course, like the newest one of those is a 2014, and they were 1600 to 1800 then. So yeah, like 2000's probably a heck of a deal, especially with the cost of iron now. It's and I'm gonna guess the ones Kim builds are probably better than these.
They hold.
There's
that.
No chance we can take the one off the old ambulance and put it on.
Not on the ambulance, but no.
Okay,
yeah, because it's the age, the year difference is by
They're
far
very specific
different.
To the years.
Yeah,
of course they are.
That's what I'm told.
That would.
I'm surprised you can't do one for the van. He says there's nothing really to attach it to. There's just not enough steel, I guess.
Because, yeah, yours are heavier duty.
Yeah.
It would probably require a little bit more.
Yeah.
Almost makes you wonder if putting one on is even, if they're so light to go on that van, if it even is worth it.
I know. I know.
It'd be nice to look at one before you really commit to that.
Yeah, and like,
yeah.
And I mean, she recommended, what's it called? Throttle down. And like I said, it's $2,800. I have a couple pictures if you want to take a look, but, and it's on a transit.
Oh, wow.
One. And you know, if you have lights and cutouts, it adds more money. The base price was like $2,000, but then if you want paint on it, it's another $500.
Probably need cutouts for your sirens and all of that.
Yeah.
That doesn't actually look too bad, really.
I mean, it looks pretty significant, but...
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a real card. But I'm sure if Kim did one, he usually quotes those around at least $3,000 because they're custom. So that gives you an equivalent. It's
right. Because he's not doing those very often. And he would have to get all the... specs on that and do it custom.
And he has to have a vehicle there while he builds it, so then you'd be out without the ambulance for a week or whatever amount of time it took.
But not on this other one?
No, the other one he can build that without it.
The $2,000 one?
Yeah.
Okay.
The full-size truck, and that's the type one.
Yeah. Are you talking about the van one that he had? No.
The van, if he did one for the van,
he'd have to have
that ambulance there for his team.
I got you. And that's the $2,800.
Yeah, through this company.
This company,
Which looks like a Montana-based.
So
it might have to go up there and hang out a while.
Most likely, unless, I mean, it would be extra if they send a tech. And I did not contact them. They might give us a better deal. I just got this off of their webpage.
Yeah.
So
I would be happy to show that to Kim and ask him if he could do something similar to what he would put it out.
Yeah, I'll just give you this.
I don't really know.
Information.
But happy to check.
So that's some great reception.
Yeah.
He doesn't get any better with the radio down here either.
And then... I guess one last item is the quote from Ed's Body Shop to fix the deer strike. I know I sent Brittany pictures. Before and after. It did look a lot better after it was washed, and it didn't have the...
It really splattered.
The splatter on it. The damage...
is clean.
Yeah, the damage is mostly the front lower fender.
$7,000.
Yeah.
I thought it was $4,600 or something.
Well, that was for the last, go around. $4,600.
The one by the back wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or by the back door. Yeah. This one is $7,000.
Like $800 and something maybe.
But this is comprehensive, and so it's probably not $7,037.
It doesn't affect comprehensive claims. Don't affect your premiums for next year. So.
Generally, but she, Crystal at Ed, said they wouldn't be able to get to it probably until February. So if you might be wanting to sell it before then, and
I mean, it's drivable, and I don't know how much it would increase the value to have it fixed to sell it to somebody who needs one, but I mean, it rode fine.
Yeah.
I rode in it, it rode fine. I mean, I don't know.
And Trevor's aware of this, but he didn't put in an accident claim because he said, ask your board first before I put it in there. That way then they don't know it's not on our account as having an accident.
Is there a deductible?
He thought it would be a $500 deductible.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth us talking to the state EMS and just talking about advertising it and saying how much will this impact our ability to sell. Because if they say, well, you got a quote, they might say, show me what you were quoted, and we say, well, $7,037 to fix, and they might say, well, take $7,000 off the price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my thought is if there's only a $500 deductible, and there's no, and it's a comprehensive claim, it's not going to raise your premiums, why not fix it? You know,
if it means we can get recuperate the $7,000.
Well, yeah, I mean,
well, and what difference is 2 months selling it make later?
I'll call Trevor just to triple check on that premium thing, just so we have it maybe in writing that this is not going to impact our premiums.
Well, and I think we talked to him.
Well, I've already talked to him.
Yeah, and I did talk to him, but he said he's not the underwriter, so he's never going to give us that in writing. But that's kind of why he said, I don't want to put this claim in.
A deer hit, not
right.
Into the wall.
But he said, I don't know. You know.
Okay.
He has no say in that.
Yes. Right. Okay. That was my only thing when I said I think we need a quote on it. Is just thinking if it means that we're not getting $7,000 for the ambulance, that it.
Yeah.
I get that it's still drivable, but.
Right. But who would want to buy it if it's...
Because I would say, if it costs $7,000, you need to take $7,000 off your price. But... Okay.
Okay.
And if you sold it to someplace like, you know, Lander or wherever, some little town, Crowheart or something, then they schedule it in February, they could always bring it back and have it fixed, you know. So I don't think that would... Unless somebody from Pennsylvania bought it or something crazy.
We can still buy that.
Yeah.
If he wants, you know, if there's a market.
If they're like, you're never going to sell that like that, or yes.
Right, because if someone's just buying it for the box, that's entirely different. So I can contact the state office tomorrow about that.
So where are we with needing to vote on your equipment?
Well, if you don't want to vote on the blanket warmer is the only one, really, I'm asking today for.
What did they need to buy a heating blanket?
Well, I said heat. It's like a heating blanket.
But I mean,
what
like,
type do you use?
We just use the Ready Heat.
And how much are those?
The Ready Heat, what was a case of them? Like,
I just ordered them individually. They're one-time use. They're the ones you pull out of the package. They're air-activated. They're $30 a piece. I mean, they're like a little heating pad, except for they're a blanket.
Okay.
When you're done with them,
head to toe.
They take up a lot less room.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have the maintenance on them, and you don't have to remind. Like here, there's, it just wouldn't be on.
Right. Yeah.
You can't. It would just burn up things trying to leave something like that on.
So, I mean, if we had though, I mean, we have more volume. So if we have I'm trying to think how many we would use.
So like a case of Ready Heats is $300, and you get 10 of them. So $600 for a blanket warmer the last year is for you guys is probably a lot more economical. We're going to go through four in a winter. Six. I mean.
Yeah.
And we use them for Campbell County, and we go through a couple cases probably over there in Sheridan during the wintertime?
Well, it would be a lot less.
So that's like $500 a winter. So.
I don't know.
Well, I'd make a motion to cover the cost of a blanket warmer. It sounds like it's not an enormous amount of money, and what your operation's been doing probably, if you get more than 3 years out of it, it's a savings.
It does take room on the bench when I need to lay down and rest.
I know.
I'm sure it's...
You could undo it and use it as a blanket, Mary.
It's warm just laying there.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I second it. I mean, it's probably nice to have a real blanket.
But I think the ready heat in the other ambulances that do not
they're well worth it. Excellent. All you do is you just throw them on the patient, they're activated, and then
blanket
throw a blanket
top
off the top.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
Too.
Yeah, I know.
So there was something new.
Hang on. All in favor. Purchasing a blanket warmer, please signify by for $650. And you said you could, can you try for that?
Yeah, I'm going to ask for a discount.
Purchasing the blanket warmer, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Okay.
So there was a guy that got thrown out of a vehicle into a snowdrift years ago who was hypothermic, but there was something new in the ambulance, and I thought it was like an electric sleeping bag, and he got put in it. By the time he got to Buffalo, his body temperature was normal. But is that something entirely different than...
Oh, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was sold on that.
That saved his
life.
I was very impressed with how well he did, because I knew he was cold. I was cold sitting out there trying to keep him warm while we waited, and he was cold. So by the time he got to town, it had done a very nice job.
Yeah, I think that was it. It's not really a sleeping bag form, but you wrap it around as much of the body as you can.
So. I'll use it and get our movies.
Okay.
I'm always cold.
Is there any more new business? Is there any public comment? Okay. Vouchers.
Okay.
Thank you guys for hearing Audrey coming. So Mary, you can't sign any checks yet, but you can sign down there. So what's going to happen?
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.